The sand hit the window at 7 this morning. Not a storm, just a gritty breeze from the Sahara. Enough to make the sky look like a weak cup of tea. I was already awake, lying on a borrowed mattress in a friend of a friend's flat in Lafayette, listening to the muezzin call drift through the open shutters. Day 2 in Tunis, and I had one task: find 4 walls I could call my own before the whole city shuts down for August. The August admin slowdown is real. I'd heard about it from a French expat I met at the airport carousel, the kind of guy who gives unsolicited advice with authority. "Get your cart de séjour application in before the 15th, he'd said, "or you'll be waiting until September." He wasn't wrong. The police commissariat and the banks run on skeleton staff from mid-month onwards. So I moved. Yesterday was paperwork, today is housing. I started where most people start. Less verges do lack. It's the modern expat downtown, all glass towers and embassies, with rents to match. A one bedroom there will set you back about 1,200 dinars a month, which is roughly $380. The flats are new, the streets are clean, and there's a mall with a cinema. But it felt like anywhere. I could have been in Dubai or Doha. I wasn't there to feel like I was anywhere. So I took the TGM train west along the coast. The TGM is the old light rail that runs from Tunis to La Marsa, passing Carthage and Sidi Bou Said on the way. The carriage was hot, the windows were open, and the sea flickered between the buildings. I got off at La Marsa, the upscale seaside suburb that's the top choice for expat families. The corniche was busy with women in lightweight hijabs and men in football shirts, the cafes spilling onto the pavement. I had a coffee at a place called Socrani's, just to test the neighborhood. It cost me about 1 dinar, 50. The foam was thick. The sea air was doing its job. A real estate agent in La Marsa showed me a studio near the market. It was small, but the windows faced the sea, and the rent was around 900 dinars a month. But I'm not sure I need to be right on the sea. I'm not on holiday. I'm living here, and I need somewhere I can work. Not a view I'll stop seeing after a week. So I went back to my original hunch, the Medina, not to live inside it, obviously. But the old city's edge has these converted dars, traditional houses with courtyards that have been turned into flats and boost houses. I walked back through Bab El Bar, the sea gate, into the souks. The crowds were thick, the August sun baking the narrow alleys. I don't know how the vendors do it, standing over their stalls in that heat, but they do. Selling leather bags, copper trays, and the red felt chekia caps that used to be made right here in the Grand Souk de Chekias. There are supposedly only a few families left who still make them properly. I'm told it's a dying craft. I bought a small one for my dad. It cost me 15 dinars, about $5, which I think was a tourist price. I didn't argue. Some things are worth paying for. I ducked into a gap between two shops and found the courtyard of a dar that had been converted into a guest house. It was run by a woman named Amira, who had a face that looked like it had been carved by patience. She showed me a room in the back, off a small courtyard with a jasmine bush. It wasn't big. A bed, a desk, a tiny bathroom with a handheld shower. But it was cool, it was quiet, and it smelled of flowers. She wanted 800 dinars a month, about $250. That felt reasonable for central Tunis. I told her I'd take it. The key turned in the lock, and I was in. My own place. Day 2, and I had a home. I spent the afternoon unpacking, which took about 15 minutes, because I have one suitcase. The rest of the day, I did what any practical adult resident does. I went shopping for a frying pan and a pillow. I found a household goods shop on Rue de Marseille, half a street away from the Medina's walls. It was a hole-in-the-wall place run by a man who seemed to have been there since before the revolution. He had bins of plastic buckets, stacks of aluminium pots, and a single shelf of pillows that had probably been there for a decade. I bought a pillow, a pan, a sharp knife, and a packet of harissa. The total came to about 22 dinars, $7. I felt a small surge of pride. I was furnishing a home, not a room. For dinner, I wandered towards the market. I ended up at a street stall near the Marché Central and ate a brick. It's a crispy fried pastry, stuffed with egg and tuna, a little bit of harissa in the middle. It cost me 2 dinars. I stood at the counter, eating it with my hands, watching the evening settle over the city. The light went from gold to pink to violet, and the heat finally broke. I thought about the practicality of it all. The cost of living here is genuinely low. A meal at a local place will set you back 8 to 15 dinars. A coffee is 1 or 2. For Cass, the fried roll stuffed with tuna and potato is about 4. The hardest part isn't the money, it's the paperwork. The bank account, the SIM card, the carte de séjour. They all need each other, which is the classic bureaucratic catch. 22. The bank needs proof of address, which needs the rental contract, which needs the flat. My contract with Amira was handwritten on a piece of paper we both signed in the courtyard while her cat watched. I'm told the bank might want it on official letterhead, but I'll cross that bridge when I get there. For now, I have a key. That's the thing that matters. My final test was the walk back to the flat in the dark. The Medina empties out at night, the shops shutter, and the alleys take on a different kind of quiet. You can hear footsteps echo, a distant television, the splutter of a scooter. It's not scary, but it's not Disneyland either. You keep your wallet in your front pocket and your phone out of sight. I made it to my door without incident, and the jasmine hit me again. I unlocked the door, put my pan on the hook, and sat on the edge of the bed. The mattress was new, still wrapped in plastic. There's a thing about this city. It's been settled for over 2,000 years, and it's still full of people trying to make a home in it. The Phoenicians built Carthage, and the Romans tore it down, and then the Arabs rebuilt a civilization on the same stones. You can see the layers if you look. The columns in the Zidona Mosque are recycled from Roman Carthage. The Bardo Museum is full of mosaics that were once floors in someone's villa. I haven't even made it there yet, though I will this week. The Carthage Room is closed for roof restoration, I'm told, but the rest is open. I sat with the window open, listening to the city hum. There was a distant sound of music from somewhere, maybe the Carthage Festival at the Roman Theater, which apparently runs all this month. Maybe I'll go tomorrow. I thought about the women I'd passed in the market, the ones with the henna on their hands and the big baskets of mint. In 11 days, it's National Women's Day here, a holiday that feels more real than most, because Tunisia has been ahead of its region on that front for a long time. I'm not going to lecture anyone, but it's a thing to know if you're moving here. I fell asleep to the sound of a gecko somewhere in the wall. I don't know what it was saying, but I liked the company. In the morning, there's more paperwork, the bank attestation, which the residence card needs. But that's a problem for the day after this one. Tonight, I'm home. Aslima. That's all for this episode of Tunisia Travel Podcast with Rania Bensella. If you're thinking about moving here, or just visiting, the numbers are real. A modest flat in the center will run you 800 to 1200 dinars a month, and you can eat well for under 10 dinars if you stick to the local spots. The key is the paperwork, so start early and bring your passport. Until next time, I'm in Tunis, and the jasmine is still blooming on my little courtyard wall.